Amen. Today is a special Sunday. I think maybe because of the pandemic and everything that's gone on in the past year or so, it feels very recent that I feel like I gave a Mother's Day sermon. But yet here we are, another Mother's Day. So before I begin, I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are present here with us in this worship service. Mother's Day, I always like to preface it. I know that it can bring about a lot of different emotions for different people. And I always try to be sensitive and acknowledge that, yes, indeed, Mother's Day, while it is a joyous celebration of a day, that for many, it can also be difficult. But I pray that together, whatever your relationship with your mother, whatever your circumstance as you come into Mother's Day, whatever feelings or emotions you have, that as we look into the Word of God together, that we will be encouraged by His amazing love for us. For every single one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are His children. And God has for us a very strong and very passionate and a committed love for us as His children. And we're going to take today a look at two particular verses where it actually compares God's love to the intense parental love of a mother with their child. And so as we see God's love for us, I really pray and hope that those of us who are parents, and all of us really, because we are given a charge to help the next generation and to bring them up in the Lord, to lead them well, that we will be challenged and encouraged to model God's parental love that He has for us as His children. So we're going to look at these two verses together. The first verse is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. And this is what it says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Next is from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Let's pray together before we get into this word. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. It is truth. God, there is no subjective truth with you. You are the objective truth. What you give to us in your word is the objective truth. There is no other truth, only your truth, God, that you reveal to us. And so as you reveal the truth of your amazing love for us today, as you remind us that we are your children, those who have been saved by grace through faith, we thank you for that. And we pray that, again, your love would impact us so that we will be overflowing with that love to the next generation and to the next generation with your gospel truth and with your love that is so real and it's never ending. And we thank you, God, that that is the love that you give to us. Help us to model that parental love. Help us to model that fierce, passionate, protective love. We thank you, God, that we can worship you together today. Be with everyone here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what can we learn about God's love for us from these verses? I'm just going to have 2 points, 1 point to go with each verse, and the first point is this, that God fiercely protects us, okay? God fiercely protects us. And secondly, that God never forgets us. So let's go ahead and start with that first point, that God fiercely protects us, as we look at one more time at Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Now, this is what the Word of God says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Now, to put it into context, this passage actually follows a longer passage just before it in which Jesus gives seven woes to the teachers and Pharisees and the scribes of Israel. They were the ones who were given the responsibility to know, to study, and to teach the heart of God through Scripture. They were supposed to tend to the children of God. They were supposed to feed the children of God so that they would be built up and encouraged to live for him, and yet they failed. Not only did the scribes and Pharisees fail to teach correctly the heart of God, in fact, they led Israelites astray from the actual heart of God, the message of God, burdening them with more and more rules, burdening them with more and more laws that they had to follow, legalism, rather than teaching them the gracious truth of Jesus Christ. In fact, they were more filled with a desire to build themselves up rather than to magnify the glory of God. And so we see Jesus, he is rebuking them, and he is, you know, woes from Jesus. It's because they were violating, betraying their position to raise up the next generation, to teach the people of God. And so when we listen to these words again, as he laments over Jerusalem, this is what he's saying. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. You see what he's saying? He's like, this is not how things are supposed to be. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So where do we see the fierce protection of God for us as his children? When we look at this verse, you might be like, well, Pastor Josh, this isn't really talking about protecting. It's like, you know, rebuking. But in these words, as he's lamenting over Jerusalem, what's revealed is this fierce heart of love for his children. Now, let me tell you how that is. You see, when we belong to Jesus, he will protect us and he will take care of us with a fierce love. And we see this intense emotion of Jesus come out as he speaks to those who are not his. You see, he is saying, you are not my children because you have rejected me. Only if you were my children, if only you would just repent and place your faith in me and know the heart of God, have a relationship with him, not just knowledge and rules and legalism and all these things. If you actually knew me and had a relationship with me, then look what I would do. I would be like a mother hen keeping her wings over her brood, over her chicks, over her young children. Now, I don't know how many of us in this church are, you know, animal lovers like me. You know, in some of our fellowship times over the past, you know, a few weeks, we've talked a lot about cicadas because, you know, everyone's waiting for that brood to come around and what that's going to look like when they're all finally out and, you know, making all that noise and swarming around. You know, and I've shared this before, when I was younger, you know, I loved catching bugs. I loved catching insects, but I also really loved to read about animals, right? And you know, so again, just this wildlife treasury thing, I still picture it so vividly because it was something that I really treasured. It was literally a treasure of mine. You just wait, like, I think every month they sent a packet with cards of animals and just reading through all the kind of interesting facts about each animal, like, it just really made me very happy. So yes, I was a very cool kid, right? But not only that, you know, on Netflix and different places, there's animal specials, you know, and now it's like crazy because there's such good quality and you can see the vibrant colors and they're learning even more about the behaviors of different animals. And, you know, there's always that one guy with the British accent that's, you know, just happens to be narrating all nature, you know, like in animal videos and specials. And so I just love watching these shows and learning more about animals. And, you know, one thing that I've learned as I've looked, you know, just studied different types of animals, one thing that's pretty clear in the animal kingdom is that you never come between a mother and its young. Right? So in the animal kingdom, we know that if there is a mother bear, perhaps, if there are cubs around, she's going to be even more ready to defend her cubs, to make sure that her cubs are okay. The mother will do anything and everything to keep their young safe and protected and cared for. Now, let me give you an example, right? Who here has seen a Canada goose? Some people call it a Canadian goose, Canada goose, Canada goose. So can I just see a show of hands with those videos on, right? Like who's seen a Canada goose? Okay. So all of us have seen these guys around. Maybe they kind of walk into traffic and you're just really tempted to, you know, just keep going because they're taking a long time, whatever it might be. But these, you know, geese are generally keeping to themselves as long as you don't mess with them. But let me tell you right now that they are vicious when there are goslings or eggs around. If you come anywhere near their nest, maybe even without knowing. So I remember walking on the sidewalk one day and I saw this Canada goose nearby. And so it was a beautiful day and I was just starting to walk towards it because I wasn't going to bother it. I was just going to walk, pay it no mind, pay no attention, and just keep walking along the sidewalk. But let me tell you, it was not like any other day. As I approached the vicinity of this Canada goose, all of a sudden, this what looked like a calm and peaceful bird raised its wings as high and as big as I had ever seen, and it started to make this hissing noise. It opened its mouth, and what looked like a peaceful goose now looked like a monster with giant jaws and this hissing sound. And it was warning me, hey, you better get going. You better get away from this area. And so I just kind of course, quickly kind of, you know, started trying to walk by as quickly as I could. And I kid you not, this goose would not leave me alone. Like, it made sure that I got far away. And it actually went from this position to flapping its wings and hissing and now coming at me, chasing me. And I'm not ashamed to say that my life flashed before my eyes. I mean, it was insane the way that that bird just flew at me. It was running after me. Why? Why did it do that? Because it had young. It had goslings. It had eggs that I didn't know about. And see, as I ran as fast as I could, as far as I could, and I turned back, that's what I realized. It wasn't this terrifying monster. It wasn't this terrifying bird. It was just a mother goose who was trying to protect its young. Now, why do I share that story? I mean, it is kind of funny, I guess, to imagine me like this bigger guy running away from this goose. But I share that because I think there's something real there that connects to what the heart of God is for us. You see, there's a fierce protection, love that God has for his people. If we are his by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, if we are his, then he will cover us in his wings. He will do whatever it takes and has done whatever it takes to keep us safe from harm, from evil, from dangers that might do us harm. That's the love of God. And so when we're talking about modeling the love of God, when we're talking about modeling his parental love, then how do we view our children's lives? How do we think and treat the next generation? What do we teach them about life? Do we have a fierce protection over them that we want nothing more than for them to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? We want nothing more than for them to glorify God with their lives. Not just to be successful or to be great in this world or to be financially stable, No, to know Jesus Christ, to live in a way that is walking with him, going with him. That, I believe, is modeling the parental love of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we can keep our kids and our future generation away from all the evil and away from all the bad things. You know, it doesn't mean that we're afraid. It doesn't mean that we're not letting them out into the world. Yes, for a time when they're younger, yes, we teach them about God's love and about who he is. And that is part of the protection, equipping them with the truth of God, showing them this is what's worth living for. That's part of this fierce protection. I believe that as Jesus laments over Jerusalem, that is his heart. Look, I've given you the truth. Look, I'm here right now. I'm showing you what life is all about. I'm showing you the heart of God. That's what he wants for us. So as mothers, I pray that that's what we teach our children, as fathers, as parents, but also as older brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are around our younger church members, let's protect them with godly love, with a fierce protection as God protects, so that we just want them to be in his wings. That is the fierce love of our God. Second thing is this, that God always remembers us. God always remembers us. Now, in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, this is what it says. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. So as I looked at this verse, again, this is God's word, God speaking and comparing his love to a woman who is nursing her child. Now, this question, can a woman forget her nursing child? This is a very interesting question, isn't it? Now, you know, I thought about this in several ways, and I hope it's okay for me to speak on it and to share about it. But this is from research and also from hearing, you know, testimonies of mothers sharing their experiences with nursing. So can a mother forget her nursing child? Now, let me share with you a few reasons that it would be very difficult for her to forget her baby that needs milk. Now, when a woman produces milk after giving birth to a child, the milk needs to be emptied through nursing. And if she does not nurse her child, she will experience very unpleasant and sometimes painful engorgement. So in that sense, yes, even physically, she cannot forget her nursing child. There's also another aspect. When we hear about nursing, breastfeeding, we often see pictures of a peaceful and tranquil scene where a mother and child are bonding in beautiful harmony. Well, let me tell you, I've heard many mothers share it is not always peaceful and tranquil, and in fact, it is oftentimes painful and even uncomfortable. And so yet again, can a mother forget such experiences? When a nursing baby is hungry, the baby will cry out and wail and let you know that it is hungry. So even if a mother were to start to forget about their nursing child, there's a built-in mechanism in babies where they will cry to surely remind her that she has a nursing child. Now, these might seem all like negative reasons, but I just wanted to share some reasons or answers why a mother would find it hard to forget about her nursing baby. But what I believe God wants us to focus in on is actually the greatest reason that a woman cannot forget her nursing baby. And essentially the answer is that this baby is hers. The child was formed in her womb. The life began at conception in her womb. And so she has not only raised the baby for 9 months in the womb, but after now, the baby has been born, she continues to care for that child, continues to give the milk and the nutrients and really the life that they need in order to continue to thrive and grow as healthy human beings. Now, this isn't a teaching to say that all women should breastfeed and that bottle feeding is bad or formula is bad. It's got nothing to do with that. The main emphasis that I want to speak on is the loving care of a mother. So God is comparing his love in this way, but look what it says. It says, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. That is such an interesting thing. So what God is saying is even the deepest of loves on this earth, more than that is God's love. Infinitely more than that is God's love. You see, God's intimate care of us, his people, here is described and pictured as a woman who has you know, raised this baby in her womb and then given birth to her child. And I believe God wants to make clear it is her very own. And again, he's picturing those who have been saved by grace through faith, those who know God are truly his children. So if you know God, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with the God of Israel, then indeed we are his children. And his love for us goes even deeper and even greater than the love, the deep love of a nursing mother. Psalm chapter 139, verse 13, it says, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. And so there's this understanding and acknowledgement that even more than being our mother's child, we are God's, because he formed us, he knitted us together, he knew us before we even came into existence. So God's love goes even deeper than the deepest of loves that we could ever experience on this earth. He knows our every need before we even say it. He indeed formed us and knew us before we were conceived. So can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. When you are his, he always remembers. He never forgets. He never loses you. He never, lets you escape his eye. He's always watching over you, always caring for you. And he always hears our cries. Before we even cry, he hears them. He knows them. And he cares for us deeply. So how does this translate into modeling God's love, his parental love, as we do our best to raise our children, as we do our best to raise up the future generation of believers? So God always remembers us because we are his. There's this kind of eternal commitment that God makes to his children. He doesn't say, hey, if you mess up, you're gone. If you do this or that, then you're no longer a part of my family. No, once we are in his family, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so in a real way, I believe God wants us to model that as parents to our children and to the younger generation. They're gonna mess up. They're gonna go astray. They're gonna do things that are not right, that are not good at times. So how will we respond? Well, we say, hey, I don't know who you are. You're not the person I expected. You're not the, you're not how I wanted you to be. So I'm not going to remember you anymore. Or are we going to be like God who says, even if these forget, yet I will not forget you. There's a commitment there. And really, if you think about it, right? I mean, a parent's love, and especially a mother's love, you know, as a man and as a dad, you know, it's something that I can't fully understand. There's something about the connection between a mother and child that, as much as I would love to, I cannot understand. Raising a baby and taking care of a baby inside my womb, I mean, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that, you know, as much as someone can describe it, I think only a woman can truly know what that's like to have a baby inside of them growing. I mean, what a responsibility, what a joy and a blessing, but yes, what a responsibility. I mean, women are literally giving of themselves. From the moment of conception on, they're giving of their body so that that baby can live, so that that baby can grow up and be healthy. And you know, to speak on this a little bit, you know, that's why I think when there are things like miscarriage or stillbirth and things like that, you know, and those things, you know, what a painful and you know, difficult thing to go through. But I think that that's why women, they almost feel guilty when those kind of things happen at times, because it is a baby growing inside them. And so they feel this kind of extra responsibility to that child. And I would say it's not their fault. Sometimes things happen, you know, when sin came into this world, things became broken. Things that should never have happened in the first place started happening. Death is one of them. And so you see, there's this deep relationship between a mother and their child. It's a sacrificial love, isn't it? That even after the baby is born, the woman continues to give. The mother continues to serve. The mother continues to sacrifice, give still of her body so that the baby can grow up and feed. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's an awesome thing. But again, it's a great responsibility. But mothers do it all the time. The sacrificial element of raising a child. And I think we can see that in God's love, can't we? That God, who loves us with this parental love, in the same way that a mother gives of herself, God gave of himself through Jesus Christ the Son. And that he gave of his body so that his children can live and prosper and be fruitful and be healthy, right? I mean, that's what God did for us. And so it makes perfect sense that he would compare his love to the love of a nursing mother, this sacrificial love. You know, I remember this touching scene from a movie titled Cinderella Man. And it's an old movie. If you see the actor, I think it's Russell Crowe, and he's much older now. So look how young this man, you know, looks in this movie, right? But there's this one scene that always got me. Now, there's this family that is very poor, and that's his family. And so there's this father, this mother, and this young daughter, and they're sitting around the dinner table. Now, the father is an amateur boxer, but he's trying to make money for his family. So obviously, if you're doing something physical like boxing, you need protein, you need, you know, energy, you need, you know, good nutrition, but they're poor. So it's very difficult to get their hands on that kind of good food. And from what I remember, this scene is during a dinner time that is a little bit before a big fight that this man is about to have. And well, they had saved up for some meat so that he could have some protein in his system. It wasn't much at all. From what I remember in the scene, it looked more like just kind of a piece of bologna. But we see this family sharing this meal. And the little daughter, you see, she's that cute little girl right there. She's already eaten one of her pieces of this meat. For them, it's a huge, you know, treat. It's a huge luxury because they're so poor. But the little girl is so hungry that she just goes through her piece so quickly. Now, the father has not even gotten a chance to touch his piece, not even to take a bite, but his daughter is still very obviously hungry. And so she says, "Can I have another piece?" And the mother says, "No, we need to save that piece for dad." So the father comes and looks at his little girl and he tells this story. And he says, "You know, last night, I had this amazing dream. I dreamt that I ate so much meat and that I had this steak. It was about this thick. Can you believe it? And in that dream, I ate so much. It was so delicious that right now I'm so full, I don't think that I can eat anything." And the next scene, what this father does is he takes his piece of meat that he needs for his own, you know, strength and energy, and he slides it onto his daughter's plate and says, here you go. Eat up. You know, you think about that kind of love. I don't know, it's just a simple scene, but my goodness, how it captures the heart of a parent who loves their child. Sacrifice, even if it's hard, we're willing to do it so that our children can be joyful. We're willing to do it so that our children can grow. We're willing to do it so that our children can be healthy. And I believe in the same spiritual way, do we as parents show this love of God? Do we sacrifice in different ways, maybe in this world, so that our children can know what it means to know the love of Christ? Teaching them the importance of Sunday worship, teaching them the importance of being in the Word, teaching them the importance of times of prayer, more than math and activities and different things. Not saying those things are bad, but do we sacrifice in the sense that we just want for our kids in this kind of way, to show them this kind of love that would help them to know the love of God? Now the daughter, you know, as she takes his portion, she doesn't know what a great sacrifice it is, actually. She just takes it joyfully. She gets another piece. She was hungry. But again, that's the love of the parent. And I think I'm trying to learn more about that too. I humble myself. I say, God, teach me about this heart that you show. You know, imagine if the dad sat down and said, well, you know, I'm really hungry, actually. And if I give you this piece, then I'm really not going to be able to fight well. And then if I don't fight well, then we're not going to have money for any more, maybe even not even milk, not even this or that. Can you imagine if that's what the father did? But no, the father, it's just his love just shines through and he just gives. I pray that we grow in that love. I pray that we would always remember our children in this kind of loving, sacrificial way, in the way that a nursing mother remembers their nursing baby. So for all the children here, all of us are children, right? We all have a mother if we're on this earth. Remember the love of your mother. Even if things are not where you want them to be in your relationship with your mother, remember that she carried you in her womb and that she cared for you so that you come out into this world. Ask God, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you know the parental love of God, ask him to give you that same kind of love that you can reconcile with your mother if you can. If your mother is still alive, tell her you are grateful for her and thank her for her love. And if she's not, remember their love for you. Celebrate, remember those times. Parents, make a commitment to protect your children with a fierce love. Keep them on the right path. Keep them from straying into this world and all the temptations to live for all these different things. Be like a mother hen bringing her brood under her wings. Parents, make a commitment to always remember your children and always remember what is the most important thing that we could be teaching them: God's love. Help them to feel secure that you will always love them, even if they make mistakes, even if they go so astray, even if they disobey you, that you will give them security to know that you will not forget them. You will always remember them in the same way that God tells us, as much as we mess up, that he will not forget us. God, sees us who believe in Jesus Christ by grace through faith, always as his children. And that means he loves us both now, cares us both now and forever and ever until eternity. Let's model our love after the parental love of our God so that our children and the future generation can be filled with believers who will also model that love when their time comes. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, we remember your parental love for us. Thank you, God, for these examples that you give as you compare your love to the love of a mother. I pray, Lord, for healing in any relationships between mother and child in our congregation. If there's any broken relationships, that you, by your Holy Spirit and with your love, would help to heal any wounds and bring reconciliation. God, I pray for those here who maybe are still grieving or mourning because they've lost their mother. Give them your peace and your comfort, that your love is for eternity. God, we also pray that even today, that we who have the blessing of still having our mothers around, that we would reach out to them and that we would just share in a time of joy and gratitude for a unique, special relationship that really is shared between mother and child. Bless us. Help us. God, we need you. And we thank you that you fiercely protect us who are your children, that you do everything possible to make sure that we know what life is all about and who you are. We thank you, God, for that. We pray, Lord, all these things, knowing that we are your children always and forever by grace through faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.